Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Opening to Enlightenment on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, monthly on the Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host Nancy Lynn. Her mission is to bring more love, expand positivity, and enlighten the world to spiritual change currently happening on this plane. With the belief in mind that we all have some level of psychic abilities, in 2014 she founded Opening to Enlightenment, or OTE. OTE is an organization whose philosophy begins with the power of education, helping those who seek to understand their lives from a deeper perspective, one that is spiritual and purposeful. Comprised of all types of psychics, mediums, healers, and unique local merchants, OTE offers a wide variety of classes, workshops, and spiritual festivals all year long. Be sure to visit their website for monthly classes and workshops. On the air, she will offer information on different areas of spirituality. We'll read your questions and answer them live, offers further insight on the subject of your interest, and will discuss what is currently happening at OTE. She will review questions received about spirituality from clients and students. If you do have a question for her and you would like it read on a further show, please email blueraven318 at gmail.com and place radio inquiry in the subject line. I know she has a lot of wonderful information for you today, so I now give you your host, Nancy Lynn.
Hello. Very glad you have tuned in to listen to this radio station. My name is Nancy Lynn. I have been a medium since as long as I can remember. Since a child, I used to talk to people who had crossed over, though I did not realize it at the time. I actively have been pursuing this for the last 20 years, and with that, have also decided to open a company by the name of Opening to Enlightenment. So welcome to the Opening to Enlightenment Hour. And with that, what I decided to do was to bring information to people through readings that I do personally, workshops that we hold from April through September, which you can view on my website. That's www.nancyote.com. And last but not least, we hold festivals. We hold numerous ones each year that can be shown also on the website. The first one coming up is in April the 1st at the Brownstown Center. I do this because I really, as stated before, want to bring the energy up and want to give information to people via information on the other side, as well as information that I've received from the other side. So I started contemplating that together and decided, wouldn't it be nice to have a radio show that had the ability to answer questions that people had from all different walks of spiritualness, from mediumship to spiritual guides to past lives. Whatever you have an interest in and have a question in, I would love to hear about it. I get the information or the answers from either my guides or from information that I've gotten across the years from people who have passed or people who have written about it. The questions, the first set of questions, this is our first show that we're producing. The first set actually came from some of the questions that I had from clients during the course of me doing readings. And I thought they were extremely valid questions and thought, wouldn't it be nice to have an hour show where I can process a few of those questions and give answers back to maybe other people that had the same exact question that they did and gives some insight to people. It also gives you a way to ask a question without exactly putting yourself right in the middle of it and being able to sort of do it anonymously and maybe get the answer that you're looking for within this show. I'm so glad you came to be a part of it, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting information from you guys of future subjects that you'd be extremely interested to pursue information on. Again, my name is Nancy Lynn. I am a medium and have been since I can remember, and I'm so glad you're a part of the show. Thank you. That being said, I want to go into a few questions here that I've gotten from clients prior to this and give you some answers based on the knowledge that I've received across the years. We've gotten some interesting feedback from some of our listeners insofar as what is a physical medium. What physical medium is one who produces intangible proof of spirit after they're dead with the aid of a controlled guide. There's phenomena that can manifest from energy body of a medium into the form of an apparition. A deceased loved one can come up, ectoplasm, breezes, straight light, music, rapping noises, and many other things. This is what one defines the word physical medium as. The other thing that I'm asked quite often is, what is the difference between a medium and a psychic? From my perspective, a psychic is one who talks to your higher self as well as theirs, and they're looking at the perspective of the actual present as well as future, and they're also integrating some of the past within it. A medium, on the other hand, will obtain information from your deceased relatives and or spirit guides that will give you more discernible information that actually sits in the present to help with some of the issues that you're working on right now. This particular differential isn't exclusive, and some mediums absolutely get some psychic information to them about different things that will happen, and it's usually based on stuff that, for their client, based on stuff that is happening right now in the present and would evolve into something into the future. So that's basically what I tell people when they ask me sort of the differential between it. And it depends on what your desire is and where you are in life, which works the best for you. Another question that we've received in is, there are two strongly suggested steps in, or what are the two strongly suggested steps in initial contact with the spiritual world? I would say your best bet, if you want to contact the spiritual world, is to do it through a medium or what is called a circle facilitator, where they pray, bring the energy into the room. It's always harmonious and happy, and everybody in there must be in a harmonious and happy energy. And then this is done by the attendees. They tend to chant, sing hymns, and they can get a pleasant atmosphere that then can bring in your deceased loved ones. And it's interesting. Where did this movement actually begin? It's accredited back to the Fox sisters. They lived in Hinsdale, New York. They did the advent of spirituality. It actually began with Kate and Margaret Fox, who were sisters, they became famous because of the rapping and the tapping that would happen, and they coded it into an alphabetical code. Their sister actually did also join them, Leah, and she did it as their actual manager. So she would set up tours and also seances for them. It was interesting because these sisters did touch base with B.T. Barnum from Barnum & Bailey Circus, as well as William Brighton, Jeff Fenham, and they ran actual seances in their homes, and they would bring in people. T.T. Barnum actually put them up in their mansion for quite a while. One of the Horatio Greenlee, who was a newspaper editor, very wealthy, actually wanted the girls to work directly for him, pay for their education, because he had lost a loved one, and he believed very much in this. Arthur Conan Doyle actually writes about the Fox sister and this particular segment of their life that they kind of went through, as well as what was discovered in their overall house, which was a peddler who had been murdered 5 years earlier and actually sat in their overall cellar as he sort of died. The neighborhood dug it up. They also moved the house to what is now Lilydale, and along with it, they also moved the skeleton of the gentleman, Charles Rosa, that was identified that actually was in the house. These two sisters, each other in 1892 and 1893, 1 year apart, they actually died penniless, which was a shame. And prior to their death, they sort of recanted what they did because they had gotten so much negative press about their spirituality that they actually went near the end of their lifetime and started stating the fact that some of the things weren't quite as what they see. And I think that was sort of, well, I don't know exactly why, but the whole thing in its entirety was documented throughout by numerous people and also Sir Conan Doyle, who wrote about it. At this point, I do want to tell you, if you have any questions about spirituality, please write to us at Blue Raven 318 at gmail.com. Make sure you put in the subject radio inquiry, and that way it'll move into the question box, and we hope to put your question on air at a later time and provide you with the answer. There was a couple of other things that had come by, and that was some of the famous mediums during the Golden Age being 1880 to 1950. Gladys Osborne was one of the people. She was born in 1882, lived on the coast of Lancaster in England. She actually saw her mom after her mom had passed and did not know her mom. And her autobiography is My Life in Two Worlds. And she explains about the most beautiful vision that happened to her, seeing her mother there. Unfortunately, her mom had died at 2 a.m. that day. And she also began to worked with table tipping with two sisters that she had met, and then began to channel a spirit through her called Fenna, and that was her guide. Another pretty famous one in the Golden Ages was Arthur Ford. He lived around 1921. He traveled and did spiritual trance mediums. as professional, and he had his guide, which was Flesher. He eventually settled in New York City and became a pastor of the Spiritualist Church, which he developed and did travel on to Great Britain. One of his lectures was attended by a veteran spiritualist, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who enthusiastically told people about the most amazing experience he'd had in 41 years in spending time with Arthur Ford. He did go on to get tested by the American Society of Psychic Research, trying to identify his own ownership of psychometry. That was never quite formally done, and he didn't quite get the answers he was looking for. But he was a very, very well-known spiritualist, and he did start the Spiritual Church in New York. The third one that cropped out at the Golden Ages is Florence Cook. She was born in London, 1856. She had very, very poor health when she was a child, and apparently, in accordance to reports, she also possessed high psychic ability. She was able to see and talk to spirits as well as angels, and at the age of 14, she began to trance in front of her families and then developed her psychic gift onto much higher heights. She would hold the seances in her family's home, and they were well attended all the way through 1872, and she began doing actually working with tables and table turning sessions. She had things fly across the room. There are some pictures that were taken of it. She heard loud tapping. Her table moved. It also lifted, and according to records, also carried one of the sitters slightly across the room. We don't have documented stuff for it. It was just placed into some of her records and documents of that. But so this whole mediumship seems to have gone across time. These are some of the documented, some of the more famous ones. Courtney, who have you heard about that you'd be interested in speaking about? Or maybe these?
You know, I've heard of a lot of different mediums throughout the years, but I think that one of the most misinterpreted places to bring mediums to the surface would be, you know, Casadega, Lilydale, and I can't remember the one down in Indiana, Camp Chesterfield.
Camp Chesterfield, yeah.
Correct. You know, I mean, we hear about these all the time in the spiritual community, but I think they're so understated. Like, they're not explained. A lot of people don't know a lot about them, but yet they've produced some of the best mediums of their time. I know you mentioned Lilydale earlier. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like a lot of our good mediums have come from there over the years, or do you feel like it's kind of a understated places that people don't quite understand? You know, what is your take on that?
Well, I can actually speak from the fact that I visited both Lilydale as well as Camp Chesterfield. I just actually came back from Camp Chesterfield just a few weekends ago. And if they don't actually cultivate the mediums themselves, they draw the mediums in, because the energy there is, it brings you up, and it is just an extremely peaceful, very calming feeling when you get to Camp Chesterfield. Also, the experiences I've had there with mediums are quite fantastic, very highly developed, and I've had the pleasure of meeting, across my years of going there, quite a number of them. know that they also work with the mediums that have passed there, also do come back and work with people to help the energy and help it move up. It is very established at Camp Chesterfield and has been there, I believe, for more than 100 years. Lilydale has sort of a, to me personally, a different flavor to it. Again, highly qualified mediums are there. It's a little higher frequency, almost more on a fairy kind of feeling. And when I've gone there, I've taken sort of a different flavor of courses there and experienced people that are working to get the knowledge out more in the written fashion. Not that they don't teach a tremendous amount of classes, because they do. They open in June and end, I believe, in September. Camp Chesterfield is open for different things all year round. So have you ever had the pleasure of going to either one of those camps?
No, but I can round out, you know, your information by saying that I've been to Casadega. So whereas you've been to those two, I've actually been to the camp down in Florida, Casadega. So, and I can say from my experience there, yeah, they do offer classes. They do have, you know, different ways of helping mediums, you know, step forward and inspiring them to step forward. But the energy there is very unique in the sense that it was, the camp itself was started by a spiritualist, and it kind of just grew. And the energy on the grounds, like when you walk through it, it's so charged. Like, you know, it's like walking on, a magnetic field. That's what it feels like when you walk through the grounds of Casadega. And the mediums down there are very unique and very independent. You know, they offer their services, or you can take courses and so forth. So, and I had a really awesome experience with one of the mediums down there, a very unique experience, and it's one that I will not forget anytime soon. So, yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to be to Camp Chesterfield yet or Lilydale, but I definitely enjoyed my experiences at Casadega.
I can also speak to the fact that Camp Chesterfield as well as Lilydale definitely feel energized. It's interesting, when I went to Lilydale, one of the tours that we took was to actually go to the front gate, walk out of it, and then walk back in and feel the charge and the differential of energy, and it does. It feels like you've just sort of risen in energy feelings. And it also seems to me that when I'm at both of those places, that the chatter in my mind isn't so prolific. It's not going at 90 miles an hour. My focus is more for sort of single-minded thought, either on the next class that we're going to do or on whatever the subject is that I'm particularly looking at. It's almost like it takes you the slightest bit into a meditated state, so your focus becomes cleaner. Did you experience that at Casadega?
Yes, I did, and I would totally agree with you. It's almost like, you know, it's funneled, I guess, is the best analogy I can give. You know, as mediums, we tend to get a lot of information all the time. And when you're in that kind of area or you know, in those camps, it's almost like there's this funnel going on where it allows you to focus it a little bit more. Not in the sense that it becomes clear, but in the sense almost like it permits you a little bit more elevated control, I guess, is the way that I would explain it. I don't know if you agree with that.
I do. And it's because you have that, it's that it puts more energy into it, not quite in the manifestation of it, but a clarity of it. So all of a sudden, possibilities towards whatever it is that you're looking to achieve, gain, or change, the possibilities begin to stream in. It begins to seem to really clear up some things if one goes there with the thought of sort of spending time and just sort of enjoying the enchantment of the place. I remember when I was up in Lilydale, they have two different areas. One classified as the stump, which is where they give messages out of, and then another is a temple, again, which they give messages out of. And the energy differential between the two, and they're probably only like walking distance, maybe two blocks apart, it isn't far at all, is that the stump feels extremely grounded, extremely focused, more sort of masculine, whereas the temple gives more of a feminine, a lighter energy to it. And it's interesting because I see that different mediums will work off of the two different areas. I have had the fortune to be there on several occasions, and we'll be traveling back there probably sometime in August also this year.
Now, did you, and I'm just going to bring this one to the surface a little bit, did you feel almost supported by the energy there, almost like you felt at home, that you could just be exactly who you were? You know, everybody there is open to the spirituality, they're open to the psyche, they're open to the energies. Did you almost feel like this sense of comfort or being at home in a way?
Yeah, good way to put it. And even though there's strangers there, easily I could start a conversation. In fact, each time, especially at Lilydale, I've been fortunate enough to meet somebody, which I'm still in contact with. They don't live anywhere near where I live, but I still stay in contact with them.
Do you have any interesting personal experiences, you know, either as a medium there or, you know, maybe getting a reading there or anything along those lines? I mean, I know I had a really unique experience when I was down in Casadega with a medium that kind of caught me by surprise. Have you had any interesting, I guess, maybe confrontations with someone or conversations or unique experiences that maybe impacted you or helped you develop?
Let me start with Lilydale first. Pictures I took have light streaming down to some of the friends that I took with me, which I found very interesting. I also did have a conversation with a medium there who is very talented. He couldn't at that time relate in, but wanted to talk to me, and it ends up he wants to be involved with the book I'm writing. So it was a great conversation. And even though it wasn't a spiritual reading, it was a wonderful conversation there. And I'm trying to think. Mainly I've taken classes there. And I at Camp Chesterfield, though, I've had more readings. And those have, when you're saying, and I, one of the people that was a medium there and died, I found out that she also wants to sort of guide me in my spiritual development. That was phenomenally interesting. And I also, it was like, there was a lot of interesting validations I got there when I had gotten some readings. I'll let you talk about yours right now.
As far as my unique experience with Casadega, it was quite interesting because it was the first time I'd ever been there. And I was heavily drawn to go there when I was down in Florida on vacation with my husband. I remember driving through and we went to like the main store and the main office and we walked the grounds, but this little shop kept drawing me. It was all purple on the outside. Purple's my favorite color. And, you know, we drove by it. We drove by it on the way out. My husband kept seeing my attention drawn to this little shop. And he actually turned around and went back because he just felt like I needed to go there. And the interesting thing was when I got out of the car, the people that were sitting outside stood up and spoke to me like they knew exactly who I was. You know, welcome. You know, they kind of just gave off this air of, we've been waiting for you. And I had no idea what the store was called. I went inside and I ended up striking up a conversation with one of the owners. But this medium came out and she pointed at my back and said, "You have a purple rose tattoo." And I said, "You know, yeah." And she said, "The name of this shop is the Purple Rose." So that caught me off guard because I didn't expect that, and ended up deciding, you know, to get a reading with her. I don't know what kind of pushed me in that direction, because normally I don't get readings from other people unless it's, you know, for a class or a training exercise or, you know, that kind of thing. But the reading was phenomenal. And the medium was phenomenal. She pulled information that I've never heard from anyone else. She pulled my father, who's been gone since I was 16, and she pulled him to a T. She was saying things that nobody ever knew about him. The reading was just so phenomenally enlightening and opening that information sticks with me still to this day. And, you know, it was just a little shop, you know, and it's just interesting because we always think that when we go into a business or a place, you know, it's just a little shop. I'm here for some information. But I think that the camp, in a way, funnels that information to make it more clearly to where these individuals can help anyone and enhance. And it was just a really, really awesome experience for me. And the information that she gave me has come true. It has stuck with me since that day. And it's just it's a reading that I will never forget. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that, Nancy, but it was just, it was an awesome experience. I would definitely say that it was an eye opener.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much for sharing that. I can remember something that was fascinating to me that happened at Lilydale. I'm very used to seeing spirit. But for some reason, when I crossed that gate, I no longer had that to lean back on. And my sense of smell started getting very fine-tuned. I'd be sitting next to somebody and all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, I'd be smelling either a cherry pie, and I mean smelling it like it was right in front of me, and I would talk to my friend about it, and lo and behold, somebody that was either sitting near us or walking with us had a relative that was pretty famous for a cherry pie. Then I smelled this whiff of tobacco, and it was odd stuff that I would be smelling. I mean, tobacco and cigarettes people usually smell, but it was odd stuff that every so often I would be smelling, and it would be just not a faint smell, like you can sort of fall over smell. It was so intense, and it always seemed like somebody was there that could pick that scent up of a loved one who had crossed over. And that happened for the entire weekend I was there. And I found it very interesting how valuable that particular scent can be, but that particular aspect of spiritualism. Because people can really relate to that just as much as you saying the name, or are you describing what they look like? they pick it up right away because that's how they remember the person. So that was pretty unique experience.
It's interesting, okay, the dynamics of a medium. And I think that there's so many, I wouldn't say so many, but I think that there's different types of mediums. And, you know, your listeners might want to know a little bit more about that because you're bringing up the senses. And being able to pull something like that, you know, like a smell or a scent, it, you know, indicates a tool that a medium will use or information a medium will receive. But, you know, are there different types of mediums? Is there different types of information that comes through?
Yes, there is. I was asked, just like you're stating, what kind of mediumship is there? The one that we're really used to is classified as spiritual mediumship. It is where we get messages delivered to us in the forms of either clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, meaning you're actually seeing however one sees, whether it's a hologram, whether you see energy, whatever it is to you. Then there's clairaudio. That is what is classified as clear hearing. You can either hear it through your ear or you can actually hear it being said in your mind. What I tell people on specifically that one is if all of a sudden they're in the middle of doing whatever it is they're doing, either working on an assignment or whatever they're focused in, and all of a sudden they hear turn around, I would tell them they need to be turning around for whatever reason. That doesn't mean if you're in a car taking your focus off going forward, but that is a message being sent to you, and that's through clairaudio. There's also clear cognizant, which is just knowing, and that is, I just know I need to open the front door. I know I need to walk over to the phone because it's going to ring. And I'm sure you've experienced that in your life, Courtney.
Oh, yeah.
clear ascension is clear feeling. You actually feel it. You sense it. You sense something wrong. You sense, you know, that somebody's hurting or somebody's in trouble. There's clear gustance, that's clear tasting. And there is, and every so often you'll taste something in your mouth where, let's say, ice cream, and you've had nothing sweet and no reason. But for whatever reason, the spirits are kind of giving you a memory of ice cream to relate to them. And there's clear alliance. It's clear smell. It's for your smelling. A lot of people will have that. They'll smell cigarette smoke, or they'll smell aftershave, or they'll have tobacco. And they'll be able to sense whether it's, you know, sweet tobacco or not. What kind of things have you experienced with these sets of receptors, whether it's your sight, hearing, smell, knowing, feeling, or tasting?
I can tell you that I've had experiences with all of them, but the one that makes me chuckle the most is the taste, because that one always catches me off guard. All of a sudden you have that taste in your mouth and you're like, I haven't ate for hours. What the heck is this? But the interesting experience with that is whenever my great grandma wants to know her present, you know, wants to make her presence known, I will taste breadsticks. And I know that sounds a little funny, but growing up, we used to go to this particular restaurant, you know, when she was up from Florida or when she was staying with my grandmother, and she would always eat the breadsticks. She loved breadsticks, and she'd always steal the breadsticks. She'd wrap them in a napkin and put them in my grandma's purse. So, and it has that distinct taste, you know. I'm not talking like bread. I'm talking like those hard restaurant breadsticks that you get and, you know, you slather with butter. It has that distinct taste. And when she wants me to know she's around, I will taste those breadsticks like I have just ate one.
What a great way to eat and not get any calories. You know?
Yeah, I know.
That's not one I experience the most. I've had a little bit of it. After going to Lilydale, that the second time I had gone and worked with the smell, not that that's my predominant one, but that one seems to take me off guard every so often, because I'll be sitting there and all of a sudden I'll smell cherry tobacco, which is my grandpa. And I'll smell it really predominantly, and I'm kind of looking around, honestly, to see where my grandpa is, not psychically, but for real, because the smell is so predominant in my senses that I kind of look at the fact that I went back in time, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
All these particular senses can be worked on and can and get better in time. The more you use them, the more you can dial them in, and the clearer you can work with them and know, see, feel, taste, smell, or hear. As far as mediumship, and that's the spiritual part. That's when messages are delivered. That's when we do automatic writing. That's when primarily it's through clairvoyance, clairaudio, with support of clairsentient and claircognizance. Those are the ones that work the most in that particular group. There's also physical mediumship. This is a form that creates physical phenomena, and can include table tipping, noise making, levitation, smoke billet pictures. It creates the ectoplasma with the help of visiting spirits and physical mediumships, as well as spirits working together to create and produce other physical phenomena or apports. There's also a segment of healing mediumship, and this brings in the divine energy of spirit into the body to heal yourself or others. It's commonly known as laying hands, can be referred to a lot of different terms such as Reiki, shamanisms that we have and have developed. And last but not least is channeling mediumship. And that's like your spirit mediumship that connects with the spirit, brings them in, trances them, and delivers message, speaking, and writing through it. These are the four forms of mediumship, if one breaks it out, that primarily people use in the term of overall mediumship. Have you ever heard of any others besides that, Courtney?
I think you pretty much covered the main ones. You know, I think most people make the assumption that all a medium is capable of doing is, you know, hearing, feeling, or seeing a spirit and delivering messages. But in a way, it's so much more than that. And I think that each medium is very unique, you know, where some might get more of the senses or the clairs, we call them, whereas another medium might do more of the healing, or another medium might do all of it, you know. So it's kind of an interesting thing to dive into the differences, because each medium is different. And I think that you would agree that it's appropriate to ask, you know, a medium, how are they getting their information, or, you know, how their mediumship works, so that you can understand how the messages are being delivered, whether it's through the clairs or, you know, through the, you know, laying out of the hands, or even if it's a medium that tends to, you know, have that energy gravitate towards them where, you know, stuff starts flying.
And trust me, that makes life a little bit more interesting.
The one that I would say is the, I guess, the most misunderstood, and I don't know if you would agree with me on that, is the channeling. Because I think that most people, when they think of channeling, they think of, you know, those movies where the person all of a sudden is overcome by the spirit and their voice changes, and all of a sudden they get this demonic look on their face, and they start levitating out of the chair. You know, I think that one is the most misunderstood. I don't know if you would agree with that.
I would, and I think with lack of knowledge, they kind of put the best thing together, but I do agree. Channeling its own rights is just to bring the message through. Some people also use the word tracing, and it's not having somebody really take over your body, but some people choose to stay within their body when the actual spirit is in there, and some people choose to just step right on the side and then just allow the automatic writing or whatever it is they're going to talk about to talk about. And
now,
one of the famous people that does that is Kryon. Actually channels Kryon, I should say, and he actually steps aside on the side of him and just allows him to work with information that he's getting down.
Now, have you ever had any experiences where you have, I would say, channeled? I mean, I can tell you that there's been times where I've pulled spirit to give information, and I don't take on, you know, the voice of the individual or anything like that, but I tend to take on some of the mannerisms. Like, for example, I can remember years ago I had a woman come in who really wanted to channel her husband, or excuse me, speak to her husband, not channel, who had passed away. And as soon as I started to talk about him and pull his energy forward and to give her the messages, my mannerisms, my whole demeanor changed. You know, I was waving my arms around. I was, using my hands to explain everything. And that's what got her the most, because she was like, he was Italian. That's all he ever did was wave his arms around. You know, he would use his hands to explain everything, you know, make gestures with his hands. She's like, even the language, your language dynamic has changed a little bit with the way you're giving the information. You sound exactly like him. Have you had those experiences before?
Yes. With the hands, also with mannerisms of how they speak, where I had one gentleman who used the term man a lot, you know, yes, ma'am, and that became part of the actual response from him to the question that the person was asking. It's interesting, and I choose not to alter the way people would speak and or the mannerisms that they would do. I had one gentleman recently that had passed and was schizophrenic, and I really felt like I was a pinball in a pinball table, the ball, you know, hitting me. So I sort of, to the best of my ability, gave them what I was seeing that the gentleman was doing and showing me, and they go, oh, my God, that's my dad. I had no understanding that he was schizophrenic. I just knew this person could not stay still and could not get any focus whatsoever, and it was better to emulate what he was doing because he wasn't directly talking to me. Once it had been established that it was his father, he stood up straight and began to communicate with me so we could get the message that he had out. So, yes, and I think it's wonderful that you also do not change exactly what you're seeing so that people can get a direct idea of exactly who they are talking to.
The only time I think that it would it kind of sucks in a way is language. I don't know if you would agree with that, but sometimes you just happen to get that one spirit who cussed like a sailor, and you're like, really? I got to repeat it this exact way? You're speaking fluent French here, you know? And that's the way they were in life, you know? They cussed up a storm, you know? They had a cuss word for everything. I always find those experiences very unique, but it's like, really? But, you know, that's how the person relates, you know?
Correct. And I did have that one also recently as a woman. As prior to any reading, I do apologize to the client if, in fact, there are any cuss words that are exchanged, because I do not want to derivate from how that person talked, or they won't recognize it.
Exactly.
So the woman just really liked one particular cuss word. And she used it over and over and over again. They go, I know exactly who that is. You know, so so I do it sort of post before the reading so the people do know without a shadow of a doubt that to me, and also I'm sure with you, the readings that I do are done from the people that come. And so they're the people that any of my clients need to thank. Myself, all I am is the person just relaying what it is that I'm hearing to them so they can have a communication and get some advice from people they cared very deeply for.
Mm-hmm.
So I do. And it's, you know, it's interesting in doing some of, in providing some of the information that I did on some of the questions that I had received. Also, there was two very famous women in history that frequently had seances, one being Queen Victoria and the other one being Mary Todd Lincoln. They frequented hoping to actually speak to their deceased husband. And so they would actually set up in their own homes to get some kind of reader there so they could have communication to be able to talk to their loved one after, you know, their husband had passed. So a little bit of trivia there insofar as I think it's much more widespread of people's overall beliefs. I believe that it would be really interesting of how many people do support it, do believe it, and are beginning to feel comfortable talking about it. But it is something that in some stretch of the way, and especially when the Fox sisters came out, that was ridiculed horribly. And so their best bet was to denounce what they did to get some semblance of a life. They unfortunately both, as I stated before, died poor. The oldest did not because she married somebody rich. And one actually went to drinking, Margaret, and she died from drinking. So, and they were two of the most famous mediums that had come in to start the whole spiritual age here. So, but I do want to hear the questions from you, the audience. I do want you to write in. Again, please email me at blueraven318@gmail.com about any question you might have concerning spirituality, and we hope to get it on the radio show. Our show does air the second Wednesday of each month, once a month, from 7 to 8. Correct, Courtney?
Correct. And if anybody would like to listen to this show in archive, or maybe you didn't get a chance to catch the whole show live, you can go to bodymindspiritradio.com. You can click on Opening to Enlightenment, and the show is there for your advantage, and you can listen to it at any time and make sure to share it with friends and family. We're very excited to have Nancy on as one of our new hosts, and we're very excited to see all the information that she brings to the table and all the information that she receives from, you know, listeners and students and so forth, all of your guys' questions.
I also want to state that our festival is coming up April the 1st. That will be Saturday. It'll be held at Brownstown Recreational Center, and that's in Brownstown, Michigan. I am so excited about it. We have some of the best mediums there, excellent vendors, and come in, drop in, have a great day. We have some great healers there too. So, you know, have a fun day with the healing, and it is open from 10:30 to 5:30. So please feel free to come down and visit us. We'll definitely be looking forward to seeing you.
Mm-hmm. And when you mean the best of the best, I just want to re-illustrate this to the listeners, Nancy, because I know I've participated in your event. You are very particular about the readers and the vendors in a very positive way. This isn't just a clash of whoever wants to join the event and do it. You make sure that these readers are authentic. You make sure that the vendors are authentic, that, you know, they really, you know, bring a lot of homemade or really unique items to the table. So this event isn't your average walk-in. It's a clash of, you know, whoever was willing to participate or whoever wanted to participate. You're very, you know, cautious about who you allow to participate because you really want to offer an authentic event to the community where they're going to be able to come in and see an authentic reader or, you know, be able to purchase something from an authentic vendor, correct?
Yes, and thank you very much for that. I do appreciate it. I do spend a lot of time with the readers. We do have a set of readers that do stay with us. They're highly developed readers, and my focus is to bring the energy up wherever we participate in this festival. It's called OTE Spirit Fest, and I want, or my hope is that each client that goes there to get a reading can help them to make their own, because they have their own free will, their own decisions, that will give them a little bit of guidance for them as they walk out. So it was definitely a good and exciting experience for them. As far as the vendors, it must be homemade, and it must be something that deals with spirituality as a whole. So thank you very much. Yes, we do spend a lot of time, and I'm very focused on having some really high-quality people in there. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. Our next show will be aired on April the 12th. So, again, if you do have any questions, we're hoping to write to us at blueraven318@gmail.com, and we'll try to get them or answers to your questions on a future show. We will not state your full name whatsoever. We'll just read your question and give an answer. So thank you again for being part of this, and looking forward to the next time I get to participate with you. And good night.